In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, September 27, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The stakes were pretty high for last night's presidential debate as Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton are running neck and neck in the polls. Trump emphasized his support for law and order, protecting our borders and producing jobs. He blamed the mess in the Middle East on Clinton and President Obama. And Clinton accused Trump of racism, a cavalier attitude towards nuclear war, and failure to pay his contractors and his business. Trump lamented the removal of troops from Iraq, and Clinton blamed the removal of troops on President George W. Bush. In all, Trump dominated the time in the debate, aggressively defending his record and his opinions at every point. The election is in God's hands. Just as the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, he turns it wherever he will. Proverbs 21:1. Another mass shooting yesterday, this time in Houston, Texas. After wounding 9 people, the disgruntled lawyer was shot down by police. The Gateway Pundit points out that the suspect held in the Seattle shootings was a Turkish immigrant and a Muslim who supported Hillary Clinton for president in a recent tweet. There have been 7 publicized Islamic attacks on U.S. soil since the San Bernardino shootings last November. A Christian writer in Jordan was shot dead at the courthouse where he was to stand trial for mocking Islam. According to Christian Today, Nahed Hattar had shared a cartoon that depicted a bearded man in heaven smoking in bed with women and asking God to bring him wine and cashews. He was killed by what appeared to be a Muslim dressed in typical fundamentalist garb outside of the courthouse at the Jordanian capital on Sunday. Another teen in Pakistan is being held on charges of blasphemy for liking a picture on Facebook that offended Islamic friends. It appears that Ireland will be the last nation in the West to adopt state approval of women killing their babies. Reports indicate that the forces of darkness are descending on Ireland. Abortion activists are expecting 20,000 people at a march in Dublin this coming Saturday. According to the Eurasia Review, the American billionaire George Soros is funding the organizations behind the movement towards death in Ireland. Soros is also known for his support of Acorn, Huffington Post, Southern Poverty Law Center, Sojourners, People for the American Way, and Planned Parenthood. Isaiah 60:12 says, "For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined." World Magazine reports on what they call big box abortion, putting the mom and pop's murder centers out of business. Planned Parenthood has become the Walmart of abortion, performing 70,000 more abortions than it did in 2004. Planned Parenthood's share of the market has increased from 20% to 32% over that time. Hawaii has become the first state in the nation to mandate sexuality education beginning in kindergarten. Hawaii State Representative Bob McDermott, one of only 7 Republicans in the 51-member House, talked to the World View about his concern, which he documented at the Ohana Policy Group website.
The problem with the sexuality education curriculum in Hawaii is that they're implementing it starting in kindergarten. And there is no standards, no curriculum for anyone to review. Additionally, the parents did not want it. The Board of Education, the testimony was something like 90 against 64. And the 64 were all these social advocacy groups, LGBT groups, Democratic Party. Parents don't want this. Why in the world at kindergarten? Well, they want to brainwash the children's minds with regard to homosexuality and transgenderism, not based on science, but based on political ideology.
McDermott says it's Planned Parenthood that is driving the leftist agenda in Hawaii.
Hawaii is a very Democrat state, so whatever Planned Parenthood says, the Board of Education, appointed by a Democratic governor, goes along with it. Oh, yes, the children need this. Forget about Barney. They need to hear stories about gay penguins and Bailey the boy with 10,000 dresses starting in kindergarten.
The golf legend Arnold Palmer is dead at 87 years old. Palmer's father was a greenskeeper on a golf course who taught his son the sport. Palmer went on to win 62 PGA titles, including 4 Masters and 1 U.S. Open. He was raised in the Lutheran Church and claimed that religion, quote, played an important part in his life and career, unquote. More Christian organizations are calling for the release of Asia Bibi, a Christian woman accused of blasphemy and facing execution in Pakistan. One organization has collected 150,000 petitions to the Pakistani High Court, which will be handling her appeal in October. The latest remake of the Western Magnificent Seven took the top position in the box office over the weekend. The bad guys shoot up a church, and the good guys invoke the fear of God while executing a bloody range war. However, most Christian reviews of the film have docked the movie on blasphemy, the glorification of revenge, and a light treatment of prostitution. Plugged In, the Focus on the Family website, puts it at 2 plugs out of 5. And that's the World View on this Tuesday, September 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today as we continue to engage the battle for faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. All of these important values, including freedom, religious freedoms, are important. And, of course, the Apostle Paul did the best he could to carve out whatever he could for freedom in order to continue discipling the nations. And, yes, from time to time we have to ask the civil magistrate to just step aside, thank you very much, and pray for religious freedoms in order that we might be able to preach the Word of God and disciple the nations, because Jesus has commissioned us to do this, and we're not backing away from this until he returns. So that's the deal. And, of course, we're willing to go to prison if the venue changes and the civil magistrate wants us to disciple the nations within the prison cells. We will most gladly do that. But whatever the case, we will find nations to disciple and continue discipling the nations until Jesus comes. And that includes all 66 books. We want to be sure that we disciple the nations in everything that Jesus has taught in Old and New Testaments. Well, today we want to look at the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, their most recent report called The Peaceful Coexistence. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights produces these reports as advisory to the President of the United States. And this report is important, I think, because it takes up the issue of religious liberties and how the president thinks about it and his advisors. So that's why it's important for us to analyze this. It turns out that a number of the Baptists, Christian leaders across the nation, Albert Mueller, others, have thrown the flag on the play on this one. And so we do the same thing. It's important, I think, to take a look at the report if some of you are interested in reading the legalese and getting really to the core of what the administration thinks about religious liberties. I would recommend you go to the link provided on a number of these stories and take a look at the report itself. It's called Peaceful Coexistence, a report produced by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And it is chilling, Bill. Phil, this is chilling, chilling, chilling. The conclusion of the report, did you see the conclusion as you come down? There's 4 to 5 conclusions towards the end of the report there. Bill is taking a look at it online right now. And here it is. It urges courts, law, and policymakers to tailor religious exceptions to civil liberties and civil rights protections as narrowly as applicable law requires. Ergo, persecute the living daylights out of Christians big time, as long as the law allows it. That's what they're saying here, Bill. They're saying is curtail Christian liberties, religious exceptions to civil liberties and civil rights protections for homosexuals. That's all they're saying, is curtail religious liberties to the protections and rights of homosexuals as narrowly as the law requires. So persecute the Christians big time as long as the law allows it.
Right.
That's what they're saying. I don't think there's any other way to read that. but that the Obama administration is saying we have to persecute Christians as much as we possibly can, as long as the law allows it. That's the advice given to the President of the United States by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And Commission Chairman Martin Castro called phrases like religious freedom code words for discrimination and intolerance. And again, friends, this comes from a report called Peaceful Coexistence. Well, you know what peaceful coexistence means here? You Christians go to jail so we can live in peace with our homosexual habits and society-destroying ways. Just leave us alone. We need to be able to peacefully coexist with everybody who hates God, and let's get these Christians out of our hair. It seems to me that the Roman powers and the Jewish powers wanted this sort of thing happening. That's why there was so much persecution going on in the first century.
You know, it's interesting because peaceful coexistence, that sounds just
Orwellian.
It's Orwellian. Marxian.
Marxian,
you know,
okay.
You know, we want peace. When the Marxist says we want peace, you translate that into peace means that they will conquer and then you'll have peace.
Yeah.
When the Muslim says we believe in peace, it's peace means that when everybody submits to Allah.
War is peace.
Yes. Yes.
Orwellian language. Peaceful coexistence is we will be at peace as long as we can torture you into believing the things that we believe.
Yep.
All right, my friends, this report is advice to the President of the United States. And the goal here, they say we want to maintain something of liberty for individuals and churches, but we want to persecute the Christian businesses, employers, and employees. I think that's the real essence of it. We're going after the corporations and the businesses. We're going after Christian florists and Christian photographers and bakers. We're going after the Christian businesses while allowing Christian individuals to maintain their sweet little faith in their homes as long as that faith does not have any influence whatsoever in the market out there.
And that's why I've said on this program before that Christians really don't believe in liberty. The churches really don't believe in liberty. That Christians have become another special interest group. Because what we say is, just give us a religious freedom exemption. Just give us a RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that will mean that we are not subject to the laws that affect a baker or a florist, that we as the church can operate on our own, and therefore we don't have to worry about this, and we don't have to take a stand in the culture. And so Christians really don't believe in liberty. We have become nothing more than another special interest group, and we've got to rethink our view. We've got to stand up to stuff like this and say, look, if you're going to go after a Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, then you're going to go after the church. And if you're going to go after the church, then we're going to rise up and we're going to call for you to be removed because you are subverting the constitution of our nation and you are subverting our freedom of speech. This is not a religious issue. This is a free speech. This is a freedom of association. This is a freedom to enter into a contract and not be coerced by government to enter into a contract unwillingly.
And I want to talk more about that after the break. But my friends, this is chilling stuff. Nero is on the move. Check out what the conferences, the conventions, and the commissions are doing. Check out what they're saying, what they're advising the President of the United States to do, and get ready for persecution. Peaceful coexistence means new Christians can go to jail, and we will live in peace with our homosexual habits. Nero is on the move. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generation Podcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you and Bill Jack in studios. We take a look at this latest report from the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And some of those egregious comments made in this report come from the
chairman,
Martin Castro. I wonder if he's any relation to the other Castro.
Yeah. Chairman Castro.
Chairman Castro, probably a relation to the other Castro, the Cuban communist. But Martin Castro is got some fighting words against Christians.
Well, he starts off, Kevin, by quoting John Adams. The government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. Now, he's setting the table right there. Yeah. He sets the table by starting off, hey, look, if you're a Christian, you know, step to the back of the line,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the back of the bus because the time for you is now past.
Then he says the phrases religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy as long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. So, and it goes on and on and on, and likens this Christian opposition to homosexuality as a Christian support or religious support for the Jim Crow laws and slavery in the 19th century. I'd like to interact with that a little bit as we go, because I think this unclear thinking, this obfuscation is a tactic of the devil himself, obviously. And so we got to be able to think clearly and ask ourselves, okay, are we talking apples and oranges or apples and apples here? As we see a comparison of the Jim Crow laws dealing with the color of a person's skin to a person's sexual proclivities. So does a person who is involved in incest, in bestiality and homosexuality, does he have the same issues that a person who has a certain skin color have? In other words, is it appropriate to associate these sorts of things as the liberals are like to do? Liberals are not thinking clearly on some of these things. Of course, God gives them up to irrational minds, as we read in Romans chapter 1. So that's not unusual for the ungodly to take on irrationality and be extremely unreasonable in their thinking, because God gives them up to a perverted mind, and as well as perverted sexuality. So these sorts of things tend to come together, as we read in Romans chapter 1. But, you know, as it turns out, ironically, the Jim Crow laws came not from religion, not from Christian pastors, but they came from the Democratic Party.
Right.
Back in the 1800s.
Yeah, as a means of blunting Reconstructionism and enforcing segregation.
And this is because the Democratic Party was screwed up from the beginning. The Democratic Party has not aligned themselves to biblical law from the beginning. You're not going to find the Democratic Party appealing to biblical law, but rather to socialism and to governmentalism and more different forms of centrism and government control of various aspects of life. For example, Louisiana passed laws in the 1890s that specified that blacks and coloreds could not ride with white people on railroads. Now, I have a question here. What business does the state have in telling people who they can ride with and who they can't ride with?
Yeah.
The state has no responsibility in that area at all, according to biblical law. Of course, we're coming from a biblical perspective, not a socialist perspective or a Marxist perspective, as the Democratic Party does, as the chairman, Martin Castro, of this Civil Rights Commission comes from, or the Jim Crow law developers in the Louisiana Democratic Party. My friends, discriminating on public water fountains and public transportation systems on the basis of skin color is the product of wicked governments
run by wicked Democrats who've rejected God's laws as the basis for man's law. See, man always thinks that his laws are better. Back in the 1890s, Bill, do you think the Southern Democrats thought their Jim Crow laws were pretty good?
They thought they were just dandy.
They sure did. You know why? Because man, in each additional era of time, tends to think of himself as the source of law, and when he comes up with a really good idea, I've got a great idea. You know, I'm an autonomous man coming up with my own law, and I've got an idea. What about a Jim Crow law where we will force private industry or private transportation systems to segregate the blacks, the coloreds, and the whites? What about that? Hey, that sounds like a good idea. See, this is the way autonomous man thinks. So whether it's Southern Democrats in the 1890s, or modern 2015, 2016 Democrats who think their laws on homosexuality are better, forcing private bakeries to bake cakes for jihadists, homosexuals, and bestiality weddings. Again, the Democrats think that they've got a wonderful, wonderful law they've concocted in their own autonomous mind against the laws of God. And whether it be pastors refuse to submit themselves to the laws of God in the Old and New Testaments, or Democrats or Republicans from the 1880s or the 2020s, it doesn't matter, my friends. They're all thinking autonomously because they refuse to submit themselves to the wisdom of God.
And don't confuse me with the facts. This idea that homosexuality is an inherent trait, like the color of one's skin or anything along those lines, has been blown out of the water. I would refer people to the New Atlantis, a journal of technology and society, number 50, fall 2016, and Dr. Lawrence S. Mayer and Dr. Paul R. McHugh examined all of the information scientifically, and they said that there is all these myths about I was born this way don't hold up.
Yeah,
they do not hold up.
Yep.
And we need to be educated on what the science says and what the Bible says, and say we can address this issue publicly. We don't have to cower in a corner. We can say, no, you are wrong, Chairman Castro.
Don't you think that the average person should be able to concede, if for 5 seconds he thought rationally on the issue, that a person's sexual choices is a far cry different from skin color? A person's skin color is amoral. What a person does with certain fleshy portions of his skin is not immoral. It has a moral component to it.
It's not amoral.
It is moral or immoral. Yeah. Exactly. Homosexuality, my friends, is an immoral thing, as incest is an immoral thing. Skin color is amoral. There's nothing right or wrong about skin color. That's obvious. Incredibly obvious. You don't come up to somebody who happens to be an albino and say, there's something, you know, you're sinful. Your skin is sinful.
You know, it's
that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Anybody who'd say that is completely out of his mind, should be put in an insane asylum.
But you know, it's interesting because we get the word sinister, you know, meaning evil.
Yeah.
From the word for the Latin root is the word for left-handed. Yeah. And it was considered that those who were born left-handed were somehow cursed by the gods, and so they were evil. So it was the sin of Cain, supposedly, that cursed black people. And that is wrong. It's unbiblical, and it should be reviled.
Homosexuality is far cry different from skin color. Skin color is not a violation of God's law. Skin color is not a sin. Skin is not a sin.
Left-handedness is not a sin.
Like that. Skin is not a sin.
Yeah.
What you do with your skin can be a sin.
Yes.
Okay. Skin is not a sin. What you do with your skin can be a sin.
You shouldn't be comfortable in your skin. You should be uncomfortable in your skin because red and yellow, black and white, not only are we all precious in his sight, we're all gross sinners and we need his forgiveness.
Amen to that. Well, my friends, homosexuality is a sin. Incest is a sin. Why? Because God's law defines it as such. And, okay, there may be a powerful inclination to it. There may be a powerful inclination that may actually have a genetic component to it. Sin can have a genetic component to it. In fact, sin does have a genetic component to it.
Sin runs through our genes.
It sure does.
Yeah.
So the point being that God's law defines what is sin. Otherwise, there is no possible definition of sin. Bigotry itself is not a sin unless God's law says it's a sin. By the way, Martin Luther King Jr. had a question posed to him in the 1950s about homosexual attractions. And I say this only because Martin Luther King is pointed to as somebody who was interested in civil rights in the 1960s and 1970s. And Martin Luther King Jr. had this question posed to him about homosexual attractions. He said, our problem is not an all uncommon one. However, it does require careful attention. The type of feeling that this boy had towards boys is probably not an innate tendency, he says, but something that has been culturally acquired. Your reasons for adopting this habit have not been consciously suppressed or unconsciously repressed. Therefore, it's necessary to deal with this problem by getting back to some of the experiences and circumstances that led to the habit. And he goes on, said, you might get some treatment. I'd recommend treatment. You are already on the right road towards a solution since you honestly recognize the problem and have a desire to solve it. So he acknowledged that being a problem. Now, here's a guy who wouldn't acknowledge skin color to be a problem. It isn't a problem. Skin color is not a problem. But homosexuality is a problem, as acknowledged by Martin Luther King Jr. And here's what one commentator said about this. Under today's Orwellian hate crimes laws in Britain and other countries in Europe, Dr. King would have faced criminal investigation or worse for publicly expressing those views today. Indeed, were he still alive today, when judged against today's empty politically correct standards, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., quite literally the king of civil rights, would be perpetually smeared as a bigot, hater, and homophobe by the ever-tolerant left. Okay, my friends, there's a difference between homosexuality and skin color. Here's one more point that needs to be made, and I think you referred to this, and I think we need to talk about it as we think of the Jim Crow laws and what the left is doing in associating those who are declaring God's standards on issues like sexuality to those Democrats that were promoting the Jim Crow laws in the 1880s. Governments forcing private businesses to discriminate and segregate blacks and whites on trains was a very bad thing. Maybe not quite as bad as governments forcing photographers to photograph homosexual acts at homosexual weddings. But why are the Democrats so evil? They violate private property. This is why they're so evil. This is why the Jim Crow Democrats were evil. Because they violated private property by forcing privately owned transportation systems to segregate. Does everybody understand? That's evil. But why is that evil? That's evil because it violates God's law, which allows for private property ownership and control of private property. That's evil. When governments do that kind of thing, the Democrats were evil in the 1880s by forcing the train systems to segregate. Why? Because a man has a right to use the property the way he sees fit. And the Democrats today are just as evil as they were, and even more so. I would say they're even more evil. The Democrats have gotten even more evil in the present day by violating private property and forcing Christian photographers to photograph homosexual acts at homosexual weddings.
Now, it's interesting because this idea that, well, we have public accommodation laws. Well, there was a need at one time for the government to step in because blacks who traveled in the South could not find a meal or a lodging, and that was a very limited public accommodation. Now, the question is, what is public accommodation today? It is every business. The government has expanded, has put the camel's nose under the tent back in the 60s, and now they've expanded to the camel is in the tent and the business owner is out of the tent because every business is supposedly a public accommodation, which means there is no public accommodation law.
It was the government, it was the social democrats of the 1880s that were promoting this discrimination stuff, and the free market would have weeded out any of the racists. They always do. Free market will take care of the racists. But governments discriminating against blacks on their own public transportation systems is just as evil, and here's why. Because the Bible requires equal treatment under the law. Now, again, I'm slicing and dicing this issue because I want Christians to think accurately on these things. It's wrong for governments to force private businesses to discriminate and segregate blacks and whites on trains. It's also wrong for governments to discriminate against blacks on their own public transportation systems or their water fountains, or et cetera, et cetera. But why? Because of Exodus 23 and Leviticus 19, which, by the way, the President of the United States has quoted from time to time as well,
mm-hmm.
because it's convenient for him. But Exodus 23 says, you shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. That is, you need to be provided equal treatment under the law. Doesn't matter who you are. And Leviticus 19:34 says, and this is key, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. That is, they're treated the same way under the law. Leviticus 19:34, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. That is, strangers usually came from a different culture and had different skin color. In another place, they're referred to as Edomites or Egyptians. Strangers had different skin color, they had different culture. But what does the Bible say when it comes to strangers within the land? How are they treated under the law? You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. All right, my friends, these are the principles, and they come from the Word of God. And here's why Christians do so badly, because they give in to socialism, because they give in to the violation of private property. Whether it be governments forcing private businesses to discriminate and segregate blacks and whites on trains in the 1880s, or governments forcing photographers to photograph homosexual acts at homosexual weddings in 2016, I don't care which Democrats you're talking about, the 1880s Democrats or the 2016 Democrats. Either way, they're violating God's laws by violating private property. And governments discriminating against blacks on their own public transportation systems is just as evil. Why? Because it violates Leviticus 19:34. All right, so we've laid out the principles of God's Word. Yes, it's true that Republicans and Democrats pretty much ignore God's laws. They won't teach God's laws. They won't maintain God's laws, and they'll always come up with their own approach to solving human problems, whether it be racism or whether it be the problem of homosexuality. If you go with God's laws, you'll do a lot better. These are the wise laws that we need to incorporate into our day. If you'd like to understand more of a biblical perspective on politics and government, get a copy of my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Just be sure that your children... Be sure that your children and grandchildren are rooted and grounded in the right perspective on these things. It's because we have strayed so far from a biblical perspective, and we did so back in the 1800s. And it may be true that many churches did not teach God's laws in the 1870s and 1880s. And that may be why these evil Democrats wound up with these evil laws in the 1880s and 1890s. God's laws haven't been taught very much in American churches for about 300 years. I'm sorry to say, but it was the Puritans that did the best job at it. And I would love to see that Christians come back to the Word of God and equip the man of God for every good work, using the Word of God, every word of the Word of God. And you'll see a little bit of my perspective on it as I bring the Word of God to bear, an area of politics, in the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.